D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by the self-proclaimed number one hockey interview on our station every week, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts, the podcast, and author of the 32 Thoughts column. Elliot, I hope you and your family have had a wonderful holiday season. We did see a coaching change about an hour ago in the NHL, the Detroit Red Wings firing Derek Lalonde and replacing him with Todd McClellan. But the NHL roster freeze is soon to be lifted. A lot of activity before that went into effect. Are you expecting a lot of activity to pick up once it is lifted? Which teams are you expecting to be busy? And could the Predators be one of them?
You know, I think, first of all, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all the great hockey fans of Nashville and surrounding areas. You know, the one thing it's pretty clear is that teams believe there is room to maneuver this year. And there is, I think, there's definitely a sense, Adam, that there's always stress, but I don't know if the stress is higher this year or it's just forcing people into moving sooner. So I do think there is the potential for some activity right before the, you mentioned the coaching change that was in Detroit. Right before the break, Detroit and Buffalo were discussing something. So I kind of looked to see, okay, did that run out of time, or is that a situation where we could see, you know, that kind of pick itself up again? I think Vancouver was kind of looking around. I always wonder with them, they like to strike early, and I think that there is always a desire there to improve as quick as they can. And yes, I still do keep an eye on the Predators. And, you know, one of the reasons is if Buffalo is a team that is looking to deal, I think there are some matches there. And I also just think in general, because Barry Trotz has indicated that he is trying to do some things, I'm watching him as well.
I'm curious, Elliot, about the Predators and centers, because that's one thing we've talked about at length, something that the Predators need. Over the past few weeks, we've seen Steven Stamkos shift to center. First, he had to because of an injury to Ryan O'Reilly. But he, Philip Forsberg, and Jonathan Marchessault have been excellent as a line over the past couple of weeks. It fits nicely with Stamkos as the first line center, Ryan O'Reilly as the second line center. I'm curious if Stamkos's emergence, for lack of a better term, as a viable 1C for this team changes the calculus for Barry Trotz as he searches the trade market?
I think it's a great question. Right now, it's probably slowed things down a little bit. I just think in the long term, like my biggest question would be, first of all, I can imagine how this is exciting to Stamkos, because one of the things that Tampa had kind of decided was that he was not a long-term answer at that position. So I'm sure getting a chance to show that he can do it, even if it's just a little burst, is probably very meaningful for him. So I would, I would probably think that that's a big motivator for Stamkos. The wildest thing for me to see about it, Adam, is just the three right-hand shots, right? Like, you just never see this. And it's just fascinating for me to watch it because it's just such a unique dynamic. I would think in general, though, while it probably fills the gap, I mean, Stamkos is a little older. O'Reilly is a little older. If Novak is not going to reach up and grab that spot, then I'm sure that Barry Trotz is looking at it, whether as more of a long-term play or I bet you it hasn't taken it off of Trotz's radar. He probably looks at this as, this is good. I'll go with this if we need to, and if it works for us, but long-term, you're probably still looking at it and saying, if there's someone you can acquire, Trotz has talked with you guys about how he wants to get younger and faster, that, Stamkos 1, O'Reilly 2, he's probably still looking at it and saying, I could still do that if the opportunity presented itself.
So, Elliot, you're saying that do you believe this team will do enough moving forward? Because they've won three out of the last four games, but they've gotten points in all four of those games. And Marchessault has led the way in regards to how well they've been playing, at least for the last four or five games. But do you think they can do enough as the season, you know, the second half of the season, that he doesn't feel he needs to make any big moves?
You know, Derek, it's just Christmas time, so I would love to lie to you and say everything is good. But you don't pay me to come on this show to lie. Mm-hmm. So I will not do that. I think this year it would take one of the most incredible runs we've ever seen for them to make the playoffs this year. Because the issue is not just how many points they're out of a playoff spot, but how many teams are between them and a playoff spot. And in this league, with the loser point, it is so hard to catch up the deeper you get into the schedule, because teams can often get the one point if they get a game into overtime in the shootout. I think the best thing I've seen out of Nashville the last few games is that Marchessault is finally going. And maybe it was as simple as an adjustment period. Maybe it was as simple as that heart-to-heart he and Trotz had after the game in Montreal, where there was the miscommunication about starting the guys from the Montreal area. But whatever the case is, Marchessault is going like he can. He is a really, really talented guy, and he is a difference maker. And maybe that's probably that's the best sign you've had, or I would say that's the best sign you've had lately. Derek, I think he's taking a long-term view, Trotz. And I think he's saying that, okay, maybe they make a run this year, maybe they surprise me, but nothing short-term really makes sense. I think that he's looking at a big picture, resetting the team for next year, and hoping that this year was a blip for some of these guys, and with a year in Tennessee under their belts, everything will be different next season. I would probably make that bet, unless some of those guys wanted to leave for whatever reason, I would make that bet if I was him.
Elliot Friedman is with us, and Elliot, it's an interesting observation, because I think that's probably what Barry Trotz has to be weighing right now, is if you watch the last homestand in particular, but even wind it back to the last six, they're 4-1-1, they've played really good teams in there. A win at Dallas. Yep. LA was playing great hockey coming in.
Yep.
They beat Carolina, who's always tough.
They won that game. Like, that LA game
was huge.
I bet like a month ago, they probably blow that game.
Yes, and they should have beaten Pittsburgh if it weren't for an unreal performance by Sidney Crosby, who just made some great plays. They pretty much outplayed Pittsburgh, who's been playing great hockey. And even the game that they lost in regulation in Colorado, a couple of just awful moments at the wrong time. But for the guts of the game, it's looking more like it was supposed to look, I guess, for lack of a better term. But that has to be tough, weighing a slice of six or eight games where they're starting to see some things, but also looking at the reality of this year. That's a tough place to be. Because I could sit here and tell you, as you're saying, you've got to leap all these teams. But I look at the roster of the teams, I think the Predators are better than a lot of the teams that are ahead of them if they get their act together. You have to ask yourself, can they rip off 8-9 straight games at some point here? I think that they can, but how does that change your long view? That's the job of a GM, and that's a tough job.
You know, I don't think it's that tough. Like, Willie, you are the ghost of Christmas optimism. I really like that. I think that's very important.
Well, I just say they cannot be as bad as they were. They every single thing that could have went wrong did go wrong. And it's coming around. They still haven't hit anywhere close to where I think that they can be. But maybe I am the ghost of Christmas optimism here. And that's what I'm trying to guard against.
Willie is
that's what I'm trying to guard against. That's why I'm asking your perspective here. That's why I'm turning to you for therapy here in this.
Well, I think Trotz's job is as he said it. I think, look, you're 11 points out of the playoffs. The team that's in the last playoff spot has two games in hand on you. and there's five teams in between you guys and Dallas, right? Like, it's an astronomical challenge. Is it impossible? No. But is it statistically highly unlikely by NHL standards? Yes. However, I think that I would bet that a lot of the guys on this Predators team are embarrassed by the way this year has gone. And they have simply said, and I bet you there's a lot of those guys in there saying, no matter what happens, we are not ending this season the way we started it. And I would bet that, especially with a guy like Josi, he's your captain, and I guarantee to you that's the message that he is sending, that we are not ending this the way we started it. And I guarantee there's a lot of pros there, and I would bet that they would fall in line behind that. I think that the other things that you guys have to – but I think Trotz's position is unchanged from what he's told you guys, and I've heard his interviews with Jared before, and that is that – he has to say, he has to look and say, what happened with our roster at the beginning of the season and how do I fix that? I think the Predators look slow. So we're going to try to deal with that. They have that big hole. Everybody knows, everybody sees it down the middle. Very, very hard thing to fix. How do I fix that? I think what Trotz looks at it is, I want to see, as he, and again, this is something he said on your station, when things are going badly, who jumps overboard and who grabs an oar and tries to row like hell? That's what he's looking at right now. Who, when things were badly, tried to make things better? Those are the guys we need to keep, okay? I think that that's one thing. I think the other thing is, so I think that's what he's looking at is who really cares and how do I fix what ailed us? And I think one of the things he's going to try to fix is down the middle, although, again, it's hard. And the other thing he's going to try to fix is the speed. Like I look at it like Saros was good for you guys. Like, you guys had a really weird season. Saros was good. For a while, he had the best penalty kill in the league. I mean, things like that aren't normally associated with losing teams. So I could see him looking at the underlying trends and saying it wasn't that bad. But – what's Bill Parcells' old line? You are what your record says you are. And their record said they weren't very good. So how do you fix those weaknesses?
Okay, so let's go back to Buffalo because that's a really interesting one. I can see two GMs on a phone call needing therapy. Man, it hasn't gone well for us. No, it hasn't gone well for us either. Let's talk. And Dylan Cousins is that centerpiece part that you've been throwing his name out there. A lot of people have as well. He is a center. So what do you think is going on around the league when you hear a name like that? Because he's an intriguing guy because he hasn't played on a winning team, right? He has had he's had one or two years where, man, the stats look great, other years where it doesn't. So how is the market shaping up as this name gets floated out there now for the last couple of weeks?
I think it's just like I think there's a lot of interest in him. You know, ever since his name kind of got out there, Willie, I think there's a ton of interest in him. And I think the biggest challenge is I think Buffalo was looking at this as, look at all the players we've lost who've won somewhere else. And I think they're careful because of that, gun shy, for lack of a better term. And that's why I look at this and I say, yeah, there's a possibility something happens, but Buffalo is going to make you pay. And so I think the Sabres have to figure out why things have gone the way they have. And I think they're going to have to make changes, but it's a tough place to be when you know you have to make changes. And then you've seen a bunch of guys you've moved on from go like Eichel's one of the best players in the league now. Reinhardt is also one of the best players in the league now. Like when that happens to you, like the worst thing that you could see happen is, let's just say Dylan Cousins got traded to Nashville. What if he goes out and becomes one of the best players in the league? Good for you guys. Awful for them. And I think it can be very hard to deal in those situations and circumstances.
No doubt about it. Another one that I think you've been commenting on a little bit with your podcast is it's interesting to assess what the World Junior is going on. We're watching a couple of prospects as we speak. One of them is Edstrom, who was one of the pieces that the Predators got in the Yaroslav Askarov trade. So I don't know if you're hearing much of how San Jose is liking what they're seeing. I'm just looking at the stats for Askarov. He is, like he has the last couple of years, been pretty dominant at the AHL level. Yeah. He's played a few games in the NHL, which it's always one of those what if he had just bided his time, he could be, in theory, backing up Saros now. What would that look like? I have no idea. But it's crazy how in a few months you look back on it. But what are the returns you're seeing on how Askarov is acclimating to life in San Jose?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I think that is a futile experiment for Predators fans. I don't think that Predators fans should waste their time thinking about that because it just wouldn't have worked. He wanted to play. He was at a point in his career where he wanted to be in the NHL or close to it. And once you guys signed Saros and it was the right move, he was gone. It's just a matter of when he was gone. He played a game in Edmonton on Saturday afternoon where it was a shooting gallery. The Oilers were all over them. I think they outshot them something like 39-20. And they got to within about half minute of winning that game in regulation. The Sharks did. It was 2-1. He was incredible. And Edmonton scored. And then once Draisaitl and McDavid come on the ice for the start of overtime, he might as well just not even play. Might as well just go back to the dressing
room. Seen that movie before.
Yeah. Scored, I think, 18 seconds in. And so, you know, I mean, they lost, but he got them a point. Like, you can see the talent. He's real world and he's all world. But, like, look, I think fans, if they want, fans are fans. They can. I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel. Maybe you can be frustrated with the Predators because he got traded. But the fact is that once Saros was signed, Askarov was a goner. That was just the way it was going to be. So I always look at it in the moment. What was the right move? Keep Saros or keep Askarov? And the right move was obviously keep Saros. So, you know, I can understand why fans get disappointed or get frustrated. But in the real world, that wasn't going to last any longer than it did.
Elliot Freeman joining us on D-Mace Vingan and Donick. Elliot, last one for you. Willie mentioned the World Junior Championships. They are underway today. Canada plays later, as I obviously know you know. But the projected top defense pair for Team Canada is an all-Predators pair, Tanner Mullendijk and Andrew Gibson. From people you know around Team Canada, people you talk to, what are people saying about Mullendijk and Gibson as this tournament gets underway?
Well, both those guys will be NHL players. You know, I have to tell you, I don't... Like, for me, Adam, it's so much watching the NHL. If I had to watch juniors too, my head would explode. Now I'll watch this.
I feel like that trying to follow the NBA sometimes. There's only so many hours in the day, right?
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, like, well, the thing about the NBA and the NFL is, like, I can just watch that stuff for fun. Like, I don't have to think when I watch that. So I enjoy it. But the NHL, like, I'm always thinking, like, what does this mean? So, you know, so I don't get a chance to watch them play in their juniors too much. I know people think highly of both those kids. I think they think they're both going to be NHL players. I think Mullendijk probably would be considered to have a more upside than Gibson. But, you know, I know people who speak really highly of Mullendijk. I'll tell you this, though, and again, I am not the expert on this. I have never heard more complaining in Canada about the snubs on Canada's roster as I did this year. So one of the ways I'm watching this tournament, first of all, I want to see Canada do well because I'm proud Canadian. But I'm actually really curious to see it because I want to see if there's any validity to all these people who say Canada left off about three or four great players and great young players. Now, the guy on Canada I think you guys should all be kind of looking at, there's a couple, because especially if you guys have a top pick, there's a defenseman there. His last name is Schaefer. And he is a one, like, he's the top D in this draft. And I had several people tell me that as this tournament goes, the more of a role he's going to have. Now, I don't know if that's the kind of guy who will be on your radar, and they might not trust him in the big defensive situations because this is a tournament for 19-year-olds, and he's not 19. But if you're looking for Dion Canada, that's the one people are really excited about because he's a draft eligible. Like, there's two other kids, Porter Martone is a Canadian kid. James Higgins is an American kid. Those are three of the four. Our draft gurus tell us that those are three of the four top picks this year. The fourth one is a Canadian named Michael Misa. He was one of the guys who didn't make the team and people are up in arms about. So if your Predators fans are watching to see who could be available at the top of the draft this year, Schaefer, Canada, Martone, Canada, Higgins, USA, those are the three big ones to watch.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column, joining us as he does every Thursday on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Elliot, always a pleasure to speak to you, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you as well, Elliot. 615-737-1025. Let's get into the Predators. The Predators entered the holiday break winning 4 of 6. Let's break it down. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.